Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. My goodness, the picture's clearer on this computer, admit it's daytime. So anyway, talking about the Conservative Party in the United Kingdom and what its electoral strategy is, because the election's got to be by the end of January 2025, probably before that, December 2024. There are even people saying it'd be May 2024, but I don't buy that myself. So there seems to be a shift in election strategy. Since David Cameron became Conservative leader in 2005, the Conservative Party started talking about ecology a lot, vote blue, go green, and stuff like that. Now, the Conservative Party seems to have largely junked that. There's this legally mandatory commitment to achieve net zero on carbon emissions, and I think by 2050. But Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is saying they're going to have to delay that, I don't think the year is legally binding, but the actual principle is that it's just not affordable anymore. There's other things like the Home Secretary, Suella Braverman, was saying the United Kingdom might need to withdraw from parts of the European Convention on Human Rights, which of course was transposed into domestic UK law as part of the 1998 Human Rights Act. She said the International Convention on Refugees, I think it's 1951, has been misunderstood and misused. People can't be crossing a dozen safe countries and just go to another one. That's asylum shopping. That's simply being an illegal economic migrant. If you want to immigrate for economic reasons, fine, but apply through the usual channels and don't pretend to be a refugee stroke asylum seeker. So saying being a woman doesn't necessarily entitle you to that. You're not necessarily persecuted. Otherwise, every woman from Saudi Arabia and Pakistan and Iran could shift to the United Kingdom. Being homosexual, in certain countries is not a sufficient reason in itself to move. Otherwise, the entire gay population of whatever countries could come. And how do we know the person actually is homosexual? He or she doesn't need to prove it. So, I mean, presumably from some countries where it would attract the death penalty, like Saudi Arabia, that would be true. Some countries that might be less severe discrimination, like, say, Russia, that might not be true. I'm not quite sure where she's setting the bar there. But she thinks the system has been abused for far too long. Now, this will strike a chord with some Conservative voters and some floating voters. So these are really wedge issues because the Conservative government is doing badly on the National Health Service, probably on transport, I think what else, on inflation, though that is going the right direction, various things like that. You remember Suella's much vaunted flagship policy of the Rwanda plan. Here we are several years later, hundreds of millions of pounds later, and not a single person has been deported and may never be deported. I was speaking to a barrister who works in these cases and says there could be further legal challenges. And she was arguing that just because Parliament votes for something, you know, parliamentary sovereignty, that doesn't automatically make it lawful. Well, that's rather dubious, that contention, but this woman would know more about law than I would, and so on. So they think this is going to play well with floating voters, and they're probably right, particularly older floating voters who are a bit conservative inclined anyway. So what really piqued their interest was the Uxbridge by-election, Uxbridge and Ruislip, South Ruislip, which was the quondam seat of Alexander Boris de Pfeffel Johnson. So that was thought to fall to Labour, and the Conservatives narrowly saved it by going hard against ULEZ, the ultra-low emission zone in London, as in you're going to have to pay lots to take your car into central London, even though Parliament has zero control over ULEZ. That's the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan. They simply sent a message to him not to do it, but he's persisting with it anyway. So they realised that going slow on some of these environmental policies is going to play well because it's just unaffordable in the short term. The cost of living so high, with inflation so high, we can't do this. We're just going to delay it. The switching to all electric cars, you can't buy a petrol diesel car after 2030. That's going to be delayed by 2035. I wonder if that was actually overcautious. Rishi Sunak should have pushed it back to 2040 or something. And someone else I know who's a car dealer says it's not going to happen, the electric cars by 2030. I mean, admittedly, already petrol diesel cars on the road 2030 can carry on, but they're going to be phased out over a generation. You just can't purchase a new one. Secondhand ones, can you sell those on after 2030? I think you can, because he says the expansion of electric charging points is just nowhere near fast enough. It's just not going to meet demand by 2030. So for that reason, it's completely impractical. And Labour says, no, they're sticking to this originally. So then people are going to have to choose between their ecological concerns and their wallets. And the Conservative calculation is that this time it's going to be their wallets. The old saying, Bill Emmett, the Economist, is the first one who told me this before the 97 election, wear your heart on your left, but your wallet on your right. I remember Michael Heseltine supposedly said right before the 1997 election, people vote with their pocketbooks, never fails. Well, anyway, his strategy was just as outdated as his language. Who on earth used that expression, a pocketbook, in 97? I'd never heard of it until then. And what was he did fail? The Conservatives won, lost, despite that, lost a number of times, and partly because the Conservative stewardship of the economy earlier had been bad. Although it actually wasn't that bad by 97. So we're carrying on. So these are the issues within that they can appeal to people, especially, you know, about cars, because remember, Conservative voters tend to be older and a bit more affluent and more rural, and so they really need to use a car. I lived in a remote Yorkshire village once, the two buses a day, so being reliant on public transport, that just was not viable. So the unfeasibility of this meant that it was almost obligatory to own an automobile. And so they think that anti-car policies are going to push people towards them. And that's probably right. Will it be enough to win the election? Probably not. I mean, there's been a slight uptick in the Conservatives' ratings from 16% lead for Labour, only 13% lead for Labour, coming into the Labour conference, and obviously then the Conservative conference. We just had the Liberal Democrat conference. It's party conference season. It was end of September, early October. There's a parliamentary recess, and the three major parties in the United Kingdom will sort it out informally. You do this week, we'll do that week, the other lot will do the week after, something like that. And remember, the Conservative Party in the days of Gloriana, Maggie Thatcher, always had their one run over the 13th of October, because that was Maggie Thatcher's birthday, so they could sing her happy birthday while she ecstatically waved from the stage. There's some fantastic footage of that. Now that's what I call a standing ovation. But that's partly because it happened to be her natal day. The party was cheering her with such high zest. Anyway, so that's why they're having a look at these things again. High speed two, is it even affordable? £100 billion. Can the UK afford to spend that at all? And if it can, is that really the best value for money? So I think this will have a limited success. It will pay some dividends, but surely not enough to save the Conservative Party in the next general election. So Labour will almost certainly win that one and be the largest party. Will they get the magic number, 326, 326 seats in the House of Commons? And very probably they will. There are people saying it'll even surpass Blair's victory of 1997, 418 seats, which is precisely double the number of seats that Labour won in 1983, their cataclysmic defeat. I don't think they'll be as high as Blair, partly because Starmer is rather uncharismatic. There are people like Lord Finkelstein, a conservative guru, who said it could be worse than 97 because there's no good news story to tell, as in at least the economy was doing quite healthily in 97, where is it not now? But the way inflation is sort of about 8% at the moment on this trajectory, maybe 4% by the time of the next general election, you know, which is almost satisfactory. And some of these policies might start to pay off. There could be a big scandal in the Labour Party. Tories are praying that Starmer is caught in bed with the goat. As I said before, that'd be far the most interesting thing about him. He's seen as a real grey man. But blandness might be actually what the doctor ordered after the upheaval and the turmoil of the Conservative government with these five prime ministers roiling the United Kingdom, and not in a good way. So I think Suella Braverman, she's also positioning herself as a hard woman for the Tory right, because the big question is, who's next? Okay, so Starmer will lead the Conservative Unionist Party into a defeat and be sentenced to resignation at dawn, immediately as the results roll in. So he might fly down from his Richmond constituency, a familiar journey to his predecessor in that seat, William Hague, who did precisely the same in 2001, except Hague never got to be PM. And then the Conservative Party will choose its next leader. So I think they're already, jostling for position. And she's trying to do that. Probably against Kemi Badenoch, you know, Penny Mordaunt might come in. But they might be able to decapitate some Conservatives as Labour of the Liberal Democrats. And then they can unseat a few cabinet ministers. They're probably correct on that one. So we shall see. I mean, does she believe what she says? Suella Braverman, she probably does. But multiculturalism, it's failed. It begs the question, what was it supposed to achieve? I mean, the United Kingdom is a multicultural country. Is only going to become more so? What are you going to do? Impose a monoculture? Are we going to outlaw Chinese restaurants? People are not going to be able to speak Urdu? Are women not going to be wear saris? Are Sikh men not to wear their turbans or something? Is that bad? Is that somehow untrained patriotic? Is that doing the United Kingdom down? I don't think that it is. And this is really preposterous, especially coming from her. Partly she's a Buddhist. Is that bad? She's the first Buddhist ever in the UK Parliament. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. So, I mean, she always wears Western-style clothes. Fine, I wouldn't object if she wore particularly South Asian clothes, but people are bicultural, individuals are multicultural, seen as enriching society and so on. Right, thank you for watching my channel. So please make sure you donate on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodle pip.